Hello, welcome. It is the Ray Lytle Show. I am Ray Lytle, and I'm here once again. We've got so many things to get into today, so many different topics to discuss, and I'll be discussing them with my co-host on the show, the one and only Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Oh, we got to think. I want to start with the state, all right? Usually we start nationally and move our way down, but today we got to start with the state, okay?
We're into crunch time right now.
Yeah.
Today they were supposed to be in session.
Yeah, but instead they were meeting all day. They were meeting to hammer out something. And from what I understand, we're recording this, all right? We are recording this now at around 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and nothing to report yet. But from what I understand, they are still meeting, and now they're going to be in session tomorrow. But the plan is to do this. They say that Illinois lawmakers and Governor Bruce Rauner are going to try to craft a short-term budget deal to keep public schools open this fall and other services funded as they continue to figure out whether or not they're going to have a budget.
So basically what they're coming up with an emergency stopgap to keep essentials going.
Yeah, well, they're figuring out, you see, what they have to do is they have to kick the can.
Again?
Yeah, but this time it's a really big can. So they're trying to figure out whose foot is going to get broken in the kicking of the can.
Because that can's not going to go very far.
Yeah, because if one foot kicks the can, it's not going to go very far, all right? The can will you know.
I mean, I've talked to friends that this is the season for highway construction, as we all know.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of people right now super worried that come Friday, all the barricades and everything are going to stay up in the state of Illinois.
Well, because
there's not going to be any work getting
there's
done.
There's no work because they're to the point where they can't pay people and they can't pay companies to do, you know.
Yeah, and with the Illinois track record of not paying, companies and vendors, I don't see where a lot of these companies can afford to, do the work and float the state. It's just not going to work out for them. So, but this could lead into, Dirksen Parkway right now has got some major widening going on, and that could lead to inconvenience for a lot of business owners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not just going to affect, how we get to work or travel through the state. This is actually going to affect, small businesses. So,
I mean, I want you to think about all those people that are, own the businesses or work for the business, all those people that are depending on paychecks. When they don't get them, that means they're not going to spend that money.
Oh, no, you're going into save mode. You're going into...
And so that's what's going to hurt us. Even more than them just not.
Oh yeah, my friends are talking. This next paycheck before a holiday, even when people are supposed to be a 3-day weekend. People should be vacationing, going out. They're looking at going to Aldi's and stretching this out for a month or two.
Yeah, because they don't know what's happening. I was giving you the whole metaphor of the can, but they've now created this giant can. And rather than just coming together and buying a device to pick up the can and throw it away, they just continue to kick it. And it's gotten so big now that the only way to kick, and this is sort of, I hate to say it's a good thing, but the only way to kick it is for both feet to get together and kick it at the same time, because it's too big for just one foot to kick. So in other words, in the past, they've been able to just have the governor do one thing or the legislators do something. They're to the point now where they need to get together and do this, because now you're talking about schools, you're talking about roadside projects, you're talking about, by the way, it's sad that we couldn't do this during when it was obvious that there were a bunch of people that were developmentally disabled that weren't going to get their care, and there were a bunch of people in the health industry that weren't going to get it. But now you're talking about schools. Tommy, look at this. There are schools in this country, all right? There are schools in this state that will have to close down before the school year even gets going. I'm going to read to you some of the days, okay? Some of the dates that some of the schools would have to close down, all right? For example, these at Frankfort, Illinois school, all right, which is in Franklin County, the Frankfort School District is supposed to start classes on the 25th of, they're supposed to start classes on the 25th of August. And it is projected to close on, get ready for it, the 31st of August. They have they have enough money to last 6 days. And then they got to close. Then they will be closed.
Here's what needs to happen, Ray. That can, that huge can that they're kicking, when they kick it, and it starts to roll, it needs to roll back and just run them over.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're
would,
right.
That would be
the
up
can,
to us.
The can
that
needs to, the can needs to roll towards them and run them over. And then we
exactly.
just get,
that's what I mean.
Then
we just start to roll forward. Yeah. They'll all breathe a sigh of relief, but then that can needs to just roll and crush them.
Yep. Oh, that's funny.
I mean, there's some school districts that say they won't even get started. They're just... You know, there ain't no sense. They got the first week, most of them do half a day is just to, you know, get everybody situated and bus routes figured out and make sure the cafeteria is working smoothly. And so, I mean, we're going to go to school for 4 days and call it quits. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts, right? I just, listen, we got to do something. You look at these other ones. I want to read some of these other schools to you. Streeter in LaSalle County. They close on September 3rd. I mean, Hardin School. All right, Hardin, which, I mean, how far is Hardin from here? It's just, you know.
A little bit south, I think, isn't it?
It's over there. It's west. It's west. It's west of Jacksonville. It's up there against the Illinois River. You know. And they're going to close... they will close on October 21st.
And these districts out west have done everything they can. I mean, over the years, they have downsized, they've merged districts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've been merging districts like crazy.
They're out of options.
I mean, you look at, it's crazy. Like, I look at where I went to school, all right? I'll tell you where I went to school. In Macoupin County, Gillespie High School. Gillespie High School will be forced to close in January. That's it. They'll be forced to close in January. So will, and I'm going to tell you names that are really close. So will Mount Olive School. North Green School, which is just outside of Jacksonville, will close in January. Let's see some of these others on the list. I just want to give some of these schools.
Where's like Chatham and Sherman?
That's what I'm checking. Chatham's actually doing, Chatham and Sherman are okay. They're bigger, you know, the bigger sort of suburban schools are the ones that are doing the best. But I'm trying to get down to where, I'm scrolling down to where we get to the Springfield schools. But Decatur schools, all right, Decatur. Their district is projected to close on February, beginning of February.
Wow.
Litchfield closing in February.
Now, or a lot of these schools are probably also looking at canceling altogether any extracurricular activities just to keep the essentials going. I mean, there's probably not going to be any sports or music or...
I don't know what they're going to do with that, but I do know this. I know that Springfield School District 186, okay... District 186 is projected to close, and get ready for it, on March 12th. March 12th, they will not have enough money to operate past that. So you've got the schools are not preparing for the full school year. And they're going into it knowing that right now they don't have enough money to do a full year. Now, if you're a teacher and you're, you know, planning what you're going to do, well, how do you plan knowing that you might not have a paycheck coming in? You know, it's bad enough that you're not getting one in the summer. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be, Now all of a sudden you got to worry about in March having it stop?
Especially if you're a household that's, you know, and I know a lot of teachers that are like this. They're married to other educators because of the field they're in. Yeah. So, yeah, this could be...
it's crazy.
This could hurt a lot of households.
North Mac going to close in April, all right?
Well, and also think of what this does to people who work. You know, both parents are working.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be now ready for your child not to be in school. And I mean, for the kids with kids in high school, it's not going to be as hard.
Yeah, all these
with elementary kids, now you got to worry about added child care.
How are you going to pay for that? I mean, this hurts everybody. Now, you mentioned some of the bigger schools. Hold on, I'm trying to get to where the bigger schools are because I think that...
Not necessarily bigger schools, better funded schools, I would say.
Yeah, some of the better funded schools. All right, let me get I got to go. I do have to go way down the list for the better schools, which I think is a good sign. Glenwood's good to go for the whole year. All right? Glenwood has no problems. They are good to go the entire year. Let's see. I'll give you some of the other ones. Auburn's good to go for the entire year. Riverton is good to go for the entire year. Pleasant Plains is good to go for the entire year. New Berlin is good to go for the entire year. And Pawnee is good to go for the entire year.
Nothing about the Williamsville School District?
I'm trying to get there now. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, okay. Come on, tell me.
This is a list of every single school in, you know. Ball Chatham is good for the entire year. All right, let me find. I believe Williamsville's fine, but I just want to make sure.
I would think. I haven't heard anything, so.
I'd be shocked if they're not. Rochester, no. Oh, well, I'll take it back. Rochester is only good until May 15th.
That surprises me.
Yeah, you think that Rochester would have been doing better. Tri-City, good till May 4th. Boy, you know, I'm looking at this list. Hold on. I got to find. Now I'm worried about Williamsville. Hold on. I got to. My goodness. I got to look at this because I'm wondering now.
Yeah, Rochester just threw a whole.
Where in the world is Williamsville? Williamsville is still they're in Sangamon County, correct? I mean,
correct.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the list of Sangamon County, and I don't see Williamsville anywhere on it. So
maybe we're just flying under the radar, or haven't made a decision.
No, I want to make sure. Let's see. All right, nothing here. Hold on. Just want to make sure that I didn't skip over it. I would be shocked, right?
I would be. I have not heard anything that we're not, you know, looking at a whole season.
All right, here we go. Williamsville, District 15. They're good for the whole year. Okay. Whew, sorry about that. Didn't mean to scare anybody from Williamsville, but whew.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was kind of wondering if maybe we're just, you know, not saying anything because we don't. We're not going to say anything because we don't want to mess it up.
Well, how shocking is it? I mean, how shocking is it that that Rochester isn't good for the whole year? I mean, you know, they're good till May, which is practically the whole year, but,
well,
it's shocking that Rochester, you know.
My sister has kids out there, and, I mean, you know, that's a nice neighborhood, small town. You would think that would be one of those that would be solid and strong, but
yeah, I mean, it seems like a great school district.
But they did have a lot of construction, so maybe they're running a little closer on their budget because they've had some recent upgrades to the school.
I see kids that are happy that are saying, "Yay, we won't have school all year." I don't think they realize how bad a thing this is. Like, this is actually a really bad thing.
If they have to catch up, they could be going to school next summer.
Well, yeah, and it's so. Anyway, here's the bottom line: is when lists like this are being put out, saying, "Hey, this one school is only going to be in session for 5 days." It's time for them to realize, okay, we have got to get this going on. We've got to get something going, and that's why Madigan and Rauner and Cullerton are actually meeting. Which, Tommy, I got to tell you, it is positive to see them actually meeting. Speaking of the Illinois budget, speaking of the state government, I don't know if you saw the special last night that the Daily Show did.
But oh yes, the argument.
The Daily Show had a special where they do a thing called Happy Endings, and with Jordan Klepper. And it's funny, they did something. They did a bit before, okay, where I'll let Jordan Klepper explain. All right, let's let him explain how this whole thing works, okay?
Illinois is spiraling out of control thanks to an ongoing fight between the state's Republican governor, Bruce Rauner, and the Democrats who run the legislature. But I refuse to believe that this is hopeless, so I sat down with representatives from both parties. They had to see eye to eye on something.
On the count of three, name your favorite beer. One, two, three.
Emmett's Sam Adams. Pale Ale.
Okay, unicorns or Norwals?
Norwals.
Unicorns.
Unbelievable.
Norwals, cool.
No, unicorns, come on.
Favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Billy Madison.
I'm gonna go with Billy Madison.
The only thing you guys could agree on is Billy Madison, then Illinois is fucked. Look, clearly we're not getting anywhere. What we need are some team-building exercises to get you guys on the same page so we can eventually pass a budget. You guys game?
For sure.
Zip.
Zap.
Zop.
Zip.
Zap.
Zop.
Zip.
Zap.
Trust falls.
Trust falls.
Dude, he's having them do trust falls and catching them. Oh my God, it's funny. It really, if you get a chance, you want to watch it. It's this great piece with Jordan Klepper, and he is it's very funny. He's doing this whole,
I love the unicorns of Norwalk.
Yeah, oh my God. Tommy, I'm telling you, it's so funny. He starts it off by talking to lottery. He starts it off by talking to lottery winners who he went and saw last year. All right, so let me. I just want to go to this because it is a pretty funny. It's a funny piece that he does
off his ongoing series.
In the inaugural segment of Jordan's Happy Endings, I traveled to Oglesby, Illinois, to celebrate lotto winners Susan and Danny, who won $250,000. Only to find out they weren't going to be paid because Illinois was without a budget.
We haven't got the money.
At the time, Illinois' budget was being held hostage by Governor Bruce Rauner and a deadlocked state legislature. Well, they've had almost a year to get their together, so I headed back to Oglesby to get my happy ending.
Danny. Susan.
Hi, Jordan.
The big question. Did you get paid?
Yes, we got paid.
Hit it! Well, it was short, but it was satisfying, and that's my happy ending.
But it's not a happy ending.
What?
They still haven't gotten a budget. Social services.
You know what? I'll ask inside. Just.
Great. This happy ending is going to take longer than it usually does.
Okay, so why aren't you happy?
All human services programs are being cut, and it's an absolute disaster.
Okay, so they did fix the lottery. Problem is, they forgot to fix everything else.
Programs have been cut. Education's been cut.
Illinois has no budget. They're in a total mess situation.
Because of the budget impasse, they've cut programs that provide care for the elderly and disabled. Students aren't getting scholarships, and homeless shelters are being closed. In short, Illinois is more of a show than ever.
What does this have to do with you guys anymore? You guys are lotto winners. You know, you're thousandaires. You don't have to deal with real-world problems anymore.
I work in the mental health field.
And Illinois is with that, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What about you, Danny?
Oh, I'm fine.
Of course, Danny's fine.
There you go. I just wanted to play it. It's so brilliant. It's just so well done. Yeah, he went to these people a few months ago. And the whole thing was, hey, happy ending. These people won the lottery. And he went to them, and the whole joke was, well, we can't get paid. And it's like, what? He goes, state of Illinois doesn't have a budget, so we can't get paid from our lottery winnings. So he went back now all these months later, and he finds out that they finally got paid. But he finds out that the woman's a worker in the medical field and just how bad it is. And then, of course, he goes to Springfield. I guess he was in Springfield yesterday or 2 days ago putting this together. And which is cool because you see some of Springfield, which is another reason I advise people to watch it. But he's meeting with a Democratic senator and a Republican House member. And I'm telling you, it's hysterical because both of them...
They don't agree on nothing.
Yeah, and Tom... They just blame each other. They just blame each other. Everything's wrong, you know... Everything is this guy's fault or that guy's fault. And I'm telling you, if you get a chance to see it, it is,
You know, it's kind of funny that you bring up the lottery with that little segment, because I heard a commercial today for the Mega Millions is up there, like, in the top 10 again.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to get paid.
You're probably not going to get paid.
That's why, you know, you got to play the Powerball, the one where they pay you from somewhere else.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely unbelievable that, what is this, 2 years now? Are we 2 years without a budget?
Tommy, it's crazy. The entire Bruce Rauner presidency has not had a budget. And before
governorship.
Did I say president? Oh, God, forgive me. They should lock me up for saying that. The whole Bruce Rauner governorship, is that a word? The whole term of Bruce Rauner being governor, we have not had a budget. In fact, prior to, we really haven't had a budget. We've had the spending that, remember when Quinn was in charge, he would just sign the spending,
authorizing
resolution, the authorization, and that's how we would operate. But at least we were operating. Now we cannot even operate because of the horrible.
I mean, granted, it is in the Illinois Constitution that there should be a balanced budget, and technically, yeah, you should be able to do that, but. If the essential things, and I mean, there is room for cuts, and it's going to have to hurt some people. But I mean, if anybody thinks that this, the elderly and the underprivileged, look at how many people you're seeing on the streets right now in Springfield. I have never seen so much panhandling in Springfield in my life.
Yeah. Oh my God! I got to tell you, it's a crazy time we live in. There's a lot of people leaving Illinois, and I don't blame them.
You know, I have a plan that I'm 5 years away from eligibility for retirement. Ray, I am actually looking for to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, right. A lot of my friends are. A lot of my friends are saying, hey, maybe it's time to move to Florida. And if you're willing to go to the hellhole, I mean, great weather, but you talk about crazy people. If you're willing to go live amongst the Floridians, it's horrible.
I've lived in Florida. You cannot, if you were still in working age, if you want to work in a right to work state like Florida, I mean, you have to either be self-employed or in a field, a technical field that's limited. Because
you'll be making $8 an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what happens in those states like that. But still,
I mean, I'm looking at places like Montana. You know, I'm looking for less people.
Well, look, go to the Dakotas which are both doing well right now. Okay, so there you go. That's what's at least, Tommy. The good news is they are at least meeting and discussing. They're at least discussing.
They're at least doing what they're supposed to freaking be doing.
Absolutely, which is fantastic,
You know what? We need to actually get a group of people together when they get in that building, surround it, and don't let them out.
Yeah, they need to put a chain around the door, and then when they start going, hey, we're in here. We're in here. Can you let us out?
I was thinking more like shock collars. They get so far away from the chamber.
We'll say, do you have a budget that you can put under the door? No, we don't. Okay, then you're staying in there. Sorry. we really have to pee. Well, here's the good news. We can take adult diapers and we can slide them under the door. And we'll continue to do that until you guys solve.
So you guys can pee in that can you're getting ready to kick.
Oh, my God. That is just fantastic. Oh, man.
But they really shouldn't be allowed to. They should not be allowed to go back to Chicago or down south, wherever they're from. They should, until this is done, they should be sequestered at the Capitol. I don't care if they have to have sleeping bags.
Yeah. They realize they have to get something done, they realize. Now I'm not saying, you know, they at the very least realize that it's inevitable that we have to do something, which I got to be honest, Tommy, I don't think they were acknowledging it. But I will say this, you know, there is a stopgap that was put into Illinois law, which was the General Assembly can send a budget, okay, that is out of balance. And the governor is allowed to go through the budget and cut what he doesn't want to spend money on. And if you remember, Pat Quinn, as inadequate as he was, he did that, though, several times. Now, people had problems with the things that he cut. But at least Quinn had the you know what, the cojones to go through and do it. Rauner has had the ability. They've given him budgets, even though they're out of balance, or spending plans. Even though it's out of balance, he is allowed to go through and say, okay, well, we're not going to spend money on this. We're not going to spend. He has a line item veto for that, where he could have gone through and said, we're so many billion dollars out of balance. I'm going to cut this many billion dollars. I'm going to cut it.
Well, Ray, he's not a career politician. However, he did say this week he's looking at re-election.
Yeah, and that's the – I mean, there's the other shocking thing is that – I mean, you talk about the – if we got to have – we got a music bed for this. The shocking – the most shocking thing of the week wasn't Brexit. And it's not Donald Trump, which we're going to talk about him in a little bit. It's not listen, there's only one thing it is, and that is Bruce Rauner, in his mind, thinking that he has done anything as governor that makes him a candidate for re-election. He's got to be crazy.
Get the budget at least going, and then talk about re-election. But when you're at a stalemate like this, you don't talk about re-election. You look stupid.
I mean, good Lord, you're without a budget? Oh, my God.
You've never had one in your entire political career?
But yet you're already thinking about re-election. I just could not believe it.
I have to say that's probably the most – you're right. That's probably the most outrageous thing that could have been said all week so far. That we're going to talk about.
I couldn't believe that he said, okay, we're going to I can't believe he said we're going to think about running for re-election. By the way, one of the things they point out in the piece by Comedy Central last night is he's being sued by everybody, okay? Everybody, including his own wife. His own wife has a non-for-profit that is supposed to be paid for by the state, and they still haven't been paid, so they've had to sue, and his wife is like one of the co-defenders. or one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit again. I guess he's the defendant, but his wife is one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against him. Oh my God! It's just Tommy. It's laughable, but at the same time, it's very sad.
I mean, Illinois should have its own reality show.
Yeah, we should. It's unbelievable how out of whack we are in this state, and how they refuse to do anything about it. I mean, let's face it. Mike Madigan has to put together something that actually is going to at least pretend to be passed. And Bruce Rauner has got to use his line item veto.
And he could come up with a budget and see what they say.
Yeah, or he could give him one and say, hey, take a look at this. What do you think? And I'll tell you something. And he always says, he goes, oh, I did. No, you didn't.
No, he hasn't.
He gave a speech for the state of the state. That's not coming up with a budget. You know, those are two different things. And
your turnaround agenda is not a budget.
Yeah, he's like, here's my turnaround agenda. We gotta break the unions, become a right-to-work state. And by the way, as long as he keeps saying stuff like, as long as he keeps saying things like, we're not even going to talk about a tax increase or any of these things until we make this a right-to-work state for the betterment of the people, and until we get our unions and our out of balance salaries out of, you know, that are out of control, that we won't even talk about those other things. And it's so weird to me that a man who's a billionaire is, you know.
Well, he also pays his superstars, you know,
yeah,
more than anybody else.
And he's
complaining. We don't talk about
that. And he's
that.
Complaining because union members make too much money. I mean, come on, dude. The top paid union member doesn't make anything compared to some of these people that you've appointed or who are getting paid.
I mean, you can become his wife's chief of staff, and eventually you can become a representative in the state.
Yeah, and you can make more money than anybody currently working on a street crew, I'll tell you that. And he is very concerned with these hardworking people getting pensions and stuff like that. He's very concerned with it, even though he himself will never want for a pension in his entire life. He'll be fine. He will be fine. Anyway, so enough about the state of Illinois. We'll move on. I actually lost track of my we got so caught up in the state, I lost track of my other subjects we were going to talk about.
Well, I think we were going to talk about a little bit about England.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, we were. We're going to get to Brexit, but first, I want to talk about Donald Trump. I don't know if you've heard, Tommy. I don't know if you've heard, but...
What is the toupee-wearing Cheeto doing now?
I don't know if you've heard, but Donald Trump thinks the answer to solving terrorism is to start beheading people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
But nobody saw the chopping off of heads. And now you see 40 and 50 at a time on the beach in the orange uniforms. And you see things happening that you haven't seen it. It's like medieval times. We're living in medieval times. We have to stop it. We have to be so strong. We have to fight so viciously and violently because we're dealing with violent people, vicious people. And when I made the statement, and you know, we have laws to uphold. We have laws. They don't have laws. You think they go back? Look, we have laws. And the laws say you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do, you know, a lot, right? Their laws say you can do anything you want, and the more vicious you are, the better. So we can't do waterboarding, which is, it's not the nicest thing, but it's peanuts compared to many alternatives, right? So we can't do waterboarding, but they can do chopping off heads, drowning people in steel cages. They can do whatever they want to do. And, you know, they eat dinner like us. Can you imagine them sitting around the table or wherever they're eating their dinner, talking about the Americans don't do waterboarding and yet we chop off heads? They probably think we're weak, we're stupid, we don't know what we're doing, we have no leadership. You know, you have to fight fire with fire. We have people out there.
So he's basically saying, hey, you know what? If we chopped off their heads, they would stop chopping off ours.
Well, you know, Ray, there's a lot to be said about some good old-fashioned Old Testament eye for an eye.
I mean, good Lord. Seriously.
I say disembowelment. Heck, let's go overboard.
Good Lord. And these people are applauding. Like, you notice, not everyone was applauding in there.
There's a bunch of people going, did he just say we should chop off some heads?
And by the way, that's the first time I've heard the sycophants who follow Trump. You know, the people that are part of his, that just love everything he says. That's the first time I've seen some of them, like, delay and keep, like, you could see him behind him going, wait a minute, I don't think I want to clap at this.
Yeah. How do I clap for beheadment?
And here's, and this will be a short subject, but here's what Trump doesn't realize. When he says we're going to get we're going to end up getting more vicious. Remember he said the word vicious?
Yeah.
and he said we're going to have to really, you know, put it to him and all this stuff. Okay, he's not the one that's going to be out there. It's not his children, certainly. It's not his grandchildren, certainly. It's not him that's going to be there. The people who are going to be there are young men and young women who joined the military because, you know, for several reasons, one of which, you know, they want to better our country. They want to protect their homeland.
For the most part, yes. And, most people do it for patriotic reasons.
Don't get me wrong. But don't, you know, there are other people. Granted, there are some people that say, hey, I'd like to, you know, I
need some college money.
Yeah, I need some money. Or I want to be specialized in this field. I got to go. But even if maybe that's their first intention when they go in, when they're in, they are fighting for their country. And they realize that, and they're brave, and God bless every single one of them.
I'm going to tell you from experience, once you get into combat, you're fighting for the guy next to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're fighting for yourself and the people next to you. You're right, but still, it's bravery that these guys do this. And I know that you were a guy. You went overseas to fight a war. My brother was at the same war. You know how that was. Okay. I'm telling you, he's not, when he says these things like this, he's not taking under consideration the lives of those people. He's not taking under consideration the
traumatic stress that he would be involving our troops in.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I did find it kind of ironic when he was talking about the orange jumpsuits. I could just imagine some people going, orange.
Yeah. you know.
Your skin's orange.
Yeah. I mean, those things that are the same as your hair, that they're, you know. But anyway, you know, he's now saying that we need to start beheading them. Because as if these guys aren't vicious enough, if we want to start treating them that way, you know what I mean?
Well, not only that, it's going to take our allies, like Turkey. Yeah. You know, when we want to use their air bases, they're going to say, no, you guys are beheading people. And, well, quite frankly, our people are starting to get a little nervous about the beheading, so we can't really let you guys land your planes here. I mean, there's so many ramifications for acting in that capacity. That's why the U.S. is above this.
I'm glad you brought up Turkey, because I want to play this if I can find this. This is something that I think people, and this is a guy I've been hard on this guy before. They had a terrorist attack in Turkey, all right, that left over 40 people dead. If you saw this.
Yes, the airport at Istanbul hit hard.
You know, Marco Rubio was interviewed last week. He was interviewed on Face the Nation, Tommy, which is a CBS show, and he said this quote. I want to read this quote to you. He said, we've seen already the attacks in Belgium. He was talking about ISIS, of course. We've seen the attacks in France. We've seen attempted and thwarted attacks elsewhere. So because of all of that, I think NATO takes on a special purpose. One of our NATO allies right now that faces the greatest threat of ISIS is Turkey.
Turkey.
And this is the quote. He says, quote, I would not be surprised over the next few weeks to see major ISIS operations within Turkey itself. One day later.
The attack at the airport.
One day later.
You know, I got a question, Ray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where was this Marco Rubio
during
the damn primaries?
Yeah. He came across
this
during the primaries.
This is a man listening to that.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
If you saw the interview, or you went to their website, if you go to CBS, I'll actually tell people where to go see this, because it's an amazing interview. This is a different Marco Rubio. In fact, I'll put this up at the chubbyray.com page so you guys can see this interview and realize, if this was the Marco Rubio that ran for president, instead of the Marco Rubio that was... Little Marco,
talking about hands.
Little Marco thinks he's so Little Marco thinks he's so smart. That got into a. If he would not have gotten into that pissing match with Donald Trump and was instead this guy, and stayed above the fray, I'll tell you right now, this guy right now would be tied with Hillary Clinton in national polls to see who was going to be president of the United States. Instead,
I think he'd be a front runner.
Well, I mean, I think they'd probably, they're always tied.
It'd be within the margins, yeah. But I'm thinking.
They're always tied around this time. Except right now, Nate Silver, the guy who always predicts everything.
Yeah.
He has now put out an 80% probability that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president. This is the time before the conventions, right after they get in, this is the time they're usually in a deadlock tie. She's pulled ahead that much in front of Trump. Tommy, I'll make my prediction. Just like Rubio predicted Turkey, I'm going to make my prediction. And my prediction is that they're going to try to find a way to have this guy run for president.
I'm not going against you because, I wouldn't take an opposing view on your idea there. If I was in the shoes of somebody who was important enough that had the push in the Republican Party, I would be sitting down with everybody that has ever had any sway with Donald Trump and telling him, okay, enough is enough. What do you want to get the hell out of here?
Yeah, what's it going to take? Well, he did stay. Remember, he said, well, maybe if they give me $5 million, he said $150 million, I would consider. He actually named, which, by the way, we have a man running for president.
Who has a price.
Yeah, who actually said he has a he has a price to get out. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And that price is not too high to be paid, right?
If I was a Republican,
I would be going to the Koch brothers.
Yeah, the Koch brothers carry that in their pocket.
And I would be on a bullhorn in their front yard.
$150, those Koch brothers, that's spending money. They should have bought him off immediately.
They should have said, we'll give you $25 million more if you promise.
$150? Hell, we'll give you $200 million. Just get out of here. Oh, my God. It is unbelievable. All right. I know we're running short on time. So let me get to the other things that we had to talk about today. Ted Cruz, Tommy, insulted fellow congressmen by implying that there are secret Muslim Brotherhood members that are in Congress right now.
If it would have been any other U.S. Senator, Ray, I would be shocked.
But we actually expect.
Ted Cruz, that just.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. Here, this is what it was. It was they were having a Ted Cruz. There was a hearing, okay? And there was testimony before a Senate panel about Islamic terrorism. And during the testimony, this is Ted Cruz's hearing, by the way. Someone said that the two Muslim members of Congress, all right, are in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. And
oh my God.
The two representatives were Keith Ellison, who is a Democrat from Minnesota, and Andre Carson, who's a Democrat from Indiana. They are both Islamic. And they say that these men are receiving fundraising dollars from the Muslim Brotherhood. And they said it during the hearing. Now they're actually calling out members of Congress saying they're some type of sleeper agents for the Muslim Brotherhood. We are doomed. We really are.
You know, people laugh at me when I say I have, solar panels in the basement.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? I mean, I cannot believe.
I'm gonna buy stock in powdered milk.
I hate the sound Glenn Becky, but you might be onto something.
The big tell is gonna be these conventions, Ray.
Yeah, what's gonna happen?
And I mean, you know, people can say, well, the Republican convention, you know, there could be rioting because of Donald Trump. Hey, the Democrats aren't safe because there's going to be a lot of Bernie Sanders guys that are going to be awful, you know, unruly up there because, quite frankly, they just don't like Hillary. Not that I can blame them.
Upon what we were talking about today, and I really do encourage people to go. I didn't play any audio, but I encourage people to listen to the Marco Rubio stuff, because in all seriousness, and maybe I'll play a little bit of it. I won't necessarily play the clip that I quoted, but I want you to hear a little bit of Marco Rubio, because if this Marco Rubio would have run, and if this Marco Rubio was running now, I think it would be a tighter race than 80% for Hillary Clinton. Here, let me run a little bit.
Senator,
of this,
what
okay?
do you think the implications are of the decision by the British to
leave? Let me fast forward in a little bit where he's talking about, you know.
Well, I mean, technically, it's not 80% for Hillary except for that one.
Well, what he does is he takes all the polls. The way Nate Silver works is he takes all the different polls in the United States and he uses a math equation to put them together. He's the guy that successfully picks.
I should also point out this.
Yeah.
If anybody else should be running against a guy like Donald Trump, should be 100%. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. If it was, I'll tell you what. If it was Barack Obama's second term versus Trump, it would be even higher. You're right. Or if it was
Bill Clinton.
If it was Bill Clinton instead of Hillary Clinton. Yeah. All right. Here, let me just play a little bit of this Marco Rubio stuff, because you and I have heard it, and I think that listeners need to hear. But I'll just play a little bit of it here.
On the world and focus on America first. And there are some elements of truth to that argument, but ultimately, again, not entirely, because given the dynamics that we now live in today, we cannot isolate ourselves from global events. We are the United States of America. We're not a small, irrelevant country. We are directly and immediately impacted by global events, whether we want to be or not, whether they're national security ones or economic ones. We're 5% of the world's population. If all we do is sell things to each other, there's only so much growth we can create. We need to be able to engage with economies all over the world. So, yeah, I think Americans want us to focus and put America first, and I think that's true for national security and economics. But I believe the best way to do that is to remain engaged in the world in a way that's good for America and good for democracy and good for free enterprise.
Do you have any concern about a kind of burn the system down mentality that some people have seen in the Brexit vote and that they see in American politics today that would disagree with your concept of being engaged in the world and say, stop it, that's what's ruining us. We've got to fundamentally change the system. The elites are wrong, the fancy economists are wrong, the members of Congress are wrong. Do you see that?
Well, I think it's good to hold the elites and the fancy economists and the Congress accountable for the decisions they make. And I do not believe it's an illegitimate argument for someone who works in manufacturing to argue, for example, don't do this because it'll cost us jobs at the expense of them going to another country. I don't think that's an illegitimate argument for them to make. I think it challenges policymakers.
See, I think that's a very pragmatic discussion that he's having.
Human being who understands
yes.
what the world is going through, what Americans are going through, and how we get through it. That right there is the best sounding politician I have heard in 2 years.
Which makes us once again ask, Where was this guy during the campaign? And, you know, Tommy, what he's talking about, which is actually kind of brave, because let's face it, a Republican senator who has problem with trade agreements is very rare. Usually big business loves big trade agreements like this, and these guys usually don't speak up. They always vote for them. By the way, it has been a rarity that Donald Trump has spoken against the TPPA because of this reason, and I find it very interesting that he's taken a very anti-Republican approach, but you know, and Trump is who I'm talking about, that he's taken a very anti-Republican approach. He's doing it a little more radically than what Rubio's doing there, which he's doing a little more pragmatically, which I find very interesting. Let me just play a couple more minutes more of Rubio.
Here's why I think that, Ray. I think Rubio's taking this because he can't run for Senate right now.
Yeah.
He screwed that by running for president. I think Rubio's setting himself up for running for governor,
he could be setting himself for 2020, because it's either going to be a Hillary Clinton one term or Donald Trump one term. I just have a feeling the next president's going to be a one-termer. And I think...
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that Rubio could be setting himself up. Let me just, but the other thing that I like, though, is you hit on the head. He's not running for anything. So he's got nothing to lose. So he's able to say, like, he just threw out there something that is a very un-Republican ideal in this very pragmatic approach to things. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't do it, but he's just saying that we should be held accountable, blah, blah. Let me just play a couple more minutes of what he's saying, and then I promise we'll get to our last piece
I think the argument goes deeper than that when it comes to her, and that is, what kind of foreign policy will she pursue, and where will it lead us, ultimately?
He's talking about Hillary Clinton, of course.
...to make decisions like that, you know, dramatic as the one you just outlined. This is a person who has generally supported virtually all of the Obama agenda, whether it was the reset with Russia, which has blown up in our face, whether it was the pivot to Asia, which was largely rhetorical, but sent the message to Europe that we were disengaging from them, whether it was the Iran nuclear deal, which I believe will one day come to haunt us, whether it's the release of prisoners from Guantanamo, one of whom was sent to Uruguay and has now left Uruguay, headed to Brazil, and on his way back to Syria. And he's not going back to Syria to open up a chain of car washes. I mean, this is the things she supported.
But do you trust her with the codes?
Well, look, I think there's a process for the presidency, and once you assume the office, no matter who holds that office, I think that the reality and the gravity of it always weighs on these people. It's a very difficult issue to face. So I would hope that I can trust no matter who wins with the nuclear codes, but here's a better approach, and that is ensuring that we have a foreign policy to ensure that we never reach a point where something like that could actually happen, where nuclear weapons would have to be used, which in my mind, it obviously is the worst and most apocalyptic scenario possible.
Let me try it another way.
By the way, and that's it for Marco. There's it's a whole 25-minute interview. I highly recommend you guys go to chubbyray.com,
well.
And I'll put it up at chubbyray.com. You can listen to the whole interview. It's fascinating to hear
you
Marco
need
Rubio.
To listen, people. Yeah. You need to listen to that.
And I'll tell you something. You know, that's how you go after Hillary Clinton, by the way. That's how you go after her, just saying, well, you know, I have some concerns because here's the list of things. He's not going out there saying, well, I understand people have told me that she may have killed some people. And I understand this isn't me, but people who have told me, they're very concerned because she and her husband have been up to some no good. But I'd rather not say what the no good is, but it's very bad. Trust me, very, very bad. Trust me, very, very bad. We should all be concerned because it's very bad. I'm just not going to choose to talk about it here. But some people have told me she's done some bad things. That has basically been Donald Trump's approach to taking on Hillary Clinton. And when people hear that, when sane people hear that, they say,
what the hell?
This guy's crazy. He's making things up. It doesn't make sense. When Marco Rubio goes out there and he's very even-tempered, and his approach...
And he's correct.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he's going,
you need to look at these things before you say how...
Yeah, he's saying, these are the things that she has done that concern me. These are the things the Obama administration has done that concern me, of which she was a part of when they did them. So, I mean, for him, he's pointing out very pragmatically what those things are that makes you go, I'm listening to that? Okay, I'm going to look that up. Okay, I'm going to, instead of just... we know she's going to go to jail for Benghazi. We know that she killed all those people in Benghazi. We know that she and her husband have been up to some very bad things. Very bad things. By the way, this is a woman who couldn't take care of her husband. And we know what happened there. It's disrespectful for me to talk about the fact that he was cheating on her, so I'm not going to mention it. That's been Trump's approach. And if you listen to Marco Rubio's approach right there, that's the approach that will make independence or undecided people say, well, you know what? This guy makes sense. He's right. I should look at that. And now he's giving me his answer of what he would do, because that would be his next step, of course. So anyway, I will end the Rubio stuff, because I do find it fascinating that Rubio, a guy who I really didn't care for that much at one point. You know, I liked him early, then I just really didn't care for him when he started campaigning.
He tried to be the Tea Party's candidate, and
he went from this pragmatic senator.
He misread everything.
To being
the power of the Tea Party was
he became a,
it was a facade.
Tommy, he became the great from one time being the great pragmatist, he became the great panderer. And I'm sorry, but I just can't. You know, I cannot respect panderers. This is one of the reasons I dislike Donald Trump's campaign, because he's pandering. When Hillary Clinton panders, I hate it. And I'm supporting Hillary Clinton, but I hate when she's out there pandering. It's like, You don't have to pander. Just be yourself and win on your laurels and what you believe in. Don't win by pandering to people and saying, I love you people. I'm just like you people. Well, hi, I'm in the South, and I'm just like you people. We don't want that. We just want you to be genuine. And I'm listening to Marco Rubio as being genuine. All right, last subject, Tommy, is we're almost out of time. The Zika virus has hit the shores of the United States. The Zika virus is in Florida, Tommy. And it's coming this way. Now, what is the biggest fear of Zika virus, Tommy?
It's got to do with child birth defects.
Yes, so a pregnant person, if they get Zika, the child is likely to have birth defects if you have Zika. So, wouldn't it make sense? Would it not make sense for someone wanting to combat Zika to make birth control more easily accessible while we're figuring it out?
Wow, Ray, that's a very pragmatic approach.
Yes. The Democrats in Congress, in the Zika bill, put forth an idea to pay for birth, to help get more birth for poor people, to make sure that they could get them birth control.
Because these are the people that are going to end up...
Yes, these are the people who are getting it.
Are going to be affected.
Yes. So their thing is, let's give them birth control so that won't lead to birth defects if they're not getting pregnant. Now...
These are the people that are not going to be able to get regular health care to identify if there is problems, so... Of course, carry on. Sorry for interrupting, I want to make that point.
As the CDC and the WHO and all these organizations are trying to find out a way to combat Zika, one of the things they all agree on is we have to stop the spread of these birth defects from it. We have to stop the mosquitoes. We have to kill the virus. Eventually, they can get some kind of a shot you can get to prevent it, or just kill it altogether. But one thing's for sure. We can't have millions of children being born with the Zika birth defects, which makes them just wards of the state. And, I mean, I hate to sound cruel, but our tax dollars...
This affects, like, the brain, the growth size of the head.
It's a developmental disease. Yeah, it's a disease where you become developmentally disabled to the point of not being able to take care of yourself. Or you take care of yourself very little, and you obviously won't be able to work, and you know it's a hardship on you, on your parents, on your neighbors, on the state. It's a hardship on everyone. So,
let me guess: compassionate of the Americans, the Christians, are against this.
Yes, because they don't want birth control being part of it. So, because of it, the Republicans have scrapped the Zika bill. Now, this is the thing that's going to pay to combat Zika. And they started, then this made them mad that the Democrats put it in. So now the Republicans have battled back by, they say they want to put things into the Zika bill.
Another poison pill.
Yes, they want to put in things that have nothing to do with, that have... nothing to do with Zika. I mean, absolutely nothing to do with Zika. And they're trying to put it into the Zika funding bill. And now the Democrats are saying, well, we're not going to put a spending part of the Zika fighting bill, a spending bill that gets you something that has nothing to do with fighting Zika. And it has caused a huge argument, and more importantly, it has caused a delay in what should be
common sense.
Yes,
you know, common sense stopping or putting a stopgap in place right now to control the spread. But no, like you said, this has all got to do with pandering to a squeaky wheel.
Yes,
that it wants nothing to do with abortion. It has nothing to do with abortion, folks. This has to do with keeping people from getting pregnant, not having to have an abortion. That's what I don't get. Because if you find out you got a Zika baby, you think these people are not going to rush out and try to have an abortion?
Yeah. And by the way, they're saying that somehow we're encouraging abortions by putting this birth control, which is insane. If you're not pregnant, you don't need an abortion. They're
exactly
trying to make it so that people will stop getting pregnant while we're figuring it out.
And abstinence don't work, folks.
It is, I'm telling you, it is, Tommy, it's the craziest thing. But the Democrats and Republicans are fighting because of something as ridiculous as the Democrats wanting to put birth control in the bill.
That's why they need to stop. They need to stop with these being able to put anything besides what's intended into a bill. They should not be able to sneak other things into it.
There's never a bill that goes through that doesn't have pork and other things in it. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It needs to stop.
How fundamentally broken we are. And this, and by the way, this is the type of thing. This is the type that Marco Rubio was just talking about. This is the type of thing that makes people frustrated. This is what makes people want to tear down the system as it is.
That's where you get Brexit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then look what happens. You get England's version of the Tea Party, the UKIP, telling everyone that we need to just tear the whole thing down. And then you get them doing Brexit, which is now, of course, causing a mess in the markets globally. And now France is weighing leaving, which will cause even more.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. I'm going to say 40% of the people that are supporting Trump right now are supporting Trump with the hopes of burning the whole system down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've heard the movement, but there's a movement. There's a movement right now in Texas where people are saying, hey, England left the EU. If Trump doesn't win, by God, we could leave the United States. So the whole Texas secessionist movement.
There's been talk of Texas secession for quite some time.
Now they're getting some fire.
And they're getting traction.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. They're catching fire, getting a little traction, the movement's starting to go again. I'm telling you, it is.
We're living in a time that, hopefully soon we can, something will happen that will click, that we'll understand that if we keep on this path, folks, this ain't going away.
Yeah.
The internet, the sharing of information has changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, by God, you better start getting things right, because we can't keep going like this. If the state of Illinois keeps going like this, we're not going to have to worry about secession here in Illinois. We're just going to have to be worried about being taken over by Indiana.
They'll just start calling us Indiana. Or how about this? They'll start calling us Whiskeyana. All right?
Our debtors are just going to sell us off to Missouri, Iowa, Kentucky.
How about they just call us Whiskeyanawa? That's what we'll be called, Whiskeyanawa. That will be the name of our state. We'll be Whiskeyania. We'll be partially owned by Iowa, Wisconsin, and Indiana. Whiskeyanawa. Missouri wouldn't want us. We have too many black people in our state. All right, Tommy, thank you very much. Remember, two shows again next week. We'll be back then. Thank you for listening and spreading the word about the Ray Lytle Show right here on SpringfieldTalk.com. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Rick.